Yesterday, I came across a clip that I found to be very, very inspiring. And the message is brief, but it so fits this season that we've been in as we've talked about the power of patience. And it's by a gentleman that many of you have heard of. His name is Les Brown. And it was a few years ago that Nikki Willis brought Les Brown in, and it was one of those God kind of things because he came in at a price point that was nothing less than unprecedented. And thank you, Nikki, for that opportunity, for setting that up. We had a great time. There were those of us that were there in that setting, and I met Les Brown when I was in my late teens and had the opportunity to be a part of some of the mentoring classes he did around public speaking and writing monologues and just being expressive in learning how to communicate. And so I ran across this clip, and I want to play it for you because it ties into what God is doing in this season and what he's saying. So if you all can roll that up for me. It's only a couple minutes long, but I want you to listen to this. It's a great thought, great message. I believe in finding as many ways to say what needs to be said so that everybody has a chance to get it. Yeah, there's some good nuggets in what Pastor Deborah just shared. There's some great nuggets in that worship if you grabbed a hold of it. Hallelujah. There are some great nuggets in that declaration, in that giving. Thank you, Pastor Arnold. That was well done. And so are we getting close? Well, while you're working on that, just let me know when you're ready. I want to keep moving.
East, they have something that's called, in the Far East,
the Chinese bamboo.
They have something that's called the Chinese bamboo tree.
Can you turn it up?
The Chinese bamboo tree takes 5 years to grow. They have to water and fertilize the ground where it is every day. And it doesn't break through the ground until the fifth year. But once it breaks through the ground, within 5 weeks, it grows 90 feet tall. Now the question is, does it grow 90 feet tall in 5 weeks or 5 years? The answer is obvious. It grows 90 feet tall in 5 years. Because at any time that that person stopped watering and nurturing and fertilizing that dream, that bamboo tree would have died in the ground. And I can see people coming out talking to a guy out there watering and fertilizing the ground that's not showing anything. Hey, what you doing? You've been out here a long time, man. And the conversation in the neighborhood is, you growing a Chinese bamboo tree, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Well, even Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder can see ain't nothing showing. So how long you been working on this? How long have you been working on your dreams? And you have nothing to show. This is all you got to show? People gonna do that to you. And some people, ladies and gentlemen, they stop. Because they don't see instant results. It doesn't happen quickly. They stop. Oh, no. You got to keep on watering your dream. That is not going to happen as quickly as you want it to happen. A lot of things are going to happen that will catch you off guard. And so, therefore, you've got to deal with and handle it as it comes. And not only that, but that faith and patience drives you into action. You've got to keep moving and keep plugging away. See, during those hard times, we didn't know how you're going to make payroll during those times when you fail and things didn't work out. They were nowhere to be found. But you know what I discovered? When you're working at your dream, somebody said, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. Oh, it's sweet to you. It's good to you. Why? See, when it's hard and there's a struggle, see, what you become in the process is more important than the dream. That's far more important. The kind of person you become, the character that you build, the courage that you develop, the faith that you're manifesting. Oh, it's just something that you get up in the morning, you look yourself in the mirror, you're a different kind of person. You walk with a different kind of spirit. And people know that you know what life is, that you have embraced life. You knew it was hard, but you did it hard.
Come on, it's okay to clap. I know that's the video. But how many can say, I think that's my story? Come on, I think that's my story. That's my testimony. Hey, it's all of our testimony. And I want to encourage us today, because one of the things that I'm recognizing is that we're in this moment of God doing some phenomenal things, some incredible things. But if we're not sensitive to the moment, we can miss it. I was talking on the road this past Friday. I went down and got our grandkids last week, drove to Atlanta, took them back this week. Friday, I drove to Atlanta, stayed overnight, drove back yesterday. About 7-8 hours dry. That's a good time to spend with the Lord. And some good teaching tapes and some good VeggieTales stories while the kids are in the car. But while I was riding, I was having this conversation with Pastor Nina, and I was talking about this season. I was talking about how so many things begin to connect that sometimes we don't realize that God bringing us into our destiny, bringing us into our harvest, is connected to someone else's harvest breaking forth at the same time. When I was looking at this message, I was working out and I was listening to this message, I said, this is so our reality right now. This is so our reality right now. That we can be in seasons where things just seem like they just are not going to let up. It just seems like it's just not coming together. I'm telling you, that's the voice of the enemy speaking to you. That's the voice of the enemy speaking to you. Hey, on sound, I need you to work with me a little bit up here. It just sounds kind of echoey or something. So I need you to either drop maybe this, if it's in the monitor, try to bring it in just a little bit on whatever a sound effect is on it. It just sounds a little hollow. I need the volume, but I need less of that hollowness sound. So I found myself on part of the ride thinking about this thing of harvest, of harvest, of harvest. And I began to think of the thought, your harvest is now. Your harvest is now. Say, my harvest is now. No, I need you to say it with some conviction. My harvest is now. And I believe that we're in a season that harvest is available, but you've got to recognize that it's harvest time now in order to go after it. There's a couple of thoughts that came to mind about the whole process of sowing and the whole process of sowing and reaping. It's in Matthew 9, verse 37, 38. I'm just reading a couple of scriptures here. It says, then he said, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. How many of you feel like you've been sowing seed? Come on. How many of you have been sowing seed? Put your hands down. Let me ask this question. How many of you have learned how to sow perpetually? Let me see your hands. Okay, what I mean perpetual sowing is you just don't sow on Sunday. You don't just sow in the giving of tithes and offerings. You sow in every moment, in every opportunity that you have, no matter where you are. You learn that what God has given you, it's all seed. Now, some you eat off of, but some you set aside. Some is tithe, some is offering, some of it you're sowing. And in all of that, the more you sow, the more you move into a place of perpetual harvest. Say perpetual harvest. Come on, say continual harvest. There's the principle of sowing and reaping that's talked about in Galatians. This is what it says in the Message Bible. It says, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. It's the principle of sowing and harvest. Harvest, most times, when we think about it, has to do with the gathering of crops or the gathering of food. I need to switch out my mic because I'm getting a hum that's just wearing me out up here. And it might be because we got all these. This mic right here, turn it off. So let's mute every mic. This mute. There we go. I felt Jesus on that right there. Sometimes you got to troubleshoot. Is that better? Yeah, were y'all hearing that too, or was it just me? Okay. Yeah, it was that mic over there. It was on. It was loud. Listen to this. There was no single harvest time in ancient Israel. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, because when we think about harvest, we think about seasons of harvest. We think about the winter, the spring, the summer, the fall, or autumn, and we think about it in terms of a season or a time of harvest. But I like what it says here. There was no single harvest time in ancient Israel. Olives were harvested in September, November, flax in March and April, barley in April and May, and wheat May and June. Fruits such as figs and grapes were harvested at the end of the summer, in August or September. It says the Israelites' calendar revolved very much around the food, the harvest periods. In the Old Testament, harvest was one of three major feasts which the Israelites were required by the Lord to keep annually. In so doing, they would remember that the rich land into which they had been brought from Egypt was a gift from God. It's in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 10 that speaks of that. Listen to this. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 days, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did the fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus, you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Say a good land. Come on, say a good land. It says, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, of fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. It says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. The word that came to them was, after you've navigated through the challenges, he's going to bring you into this place of harvest. He's going to bring you into this place of fruitfulness. One of the things that I think can become a challenge for us many times is we get so focused on the challenge that we're no longer in the challenge. It's kind of going, having gone through a bad situation, a bad relationship. You get on the other side of it, but you still feel like you're having to navigate through those emotions and those feelings and protect yourself and guard yourself because of what you've been through. And sometimes we don't realize it. Hear me now. We don't realize it. We talk about faith. We talk about prosperity. We talk about increase, but we don't really live out of that place. We still live out of a place of a mentality of not enough or just enough. We live out of that mentality that I sometimes call the Mephibosheth mindset. That has to be broken off of us, that Mephibosheth mindset. Because I don't know about you, I wasn't raised in a household that was rich. I wasn't raised in a household that had abundance. I was raised in a household where we waited till Dad got home on Friday to have the food to eat because he was a truck driver. When Daddy gonna get here? He's on his way. He just got off the road. As soon as he parks the truck, he'll be here with some Wendy's or with some, well, Wendy's wasn't out back then. With some there was a restaurant called Sandy's back then. It was burgers and fries. He picked up some, you know, when Dad came, we was glad to see him, but we're more glad to see that food that came with him. But here's my point is that in this season, now hear me now, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Some of you already are moved into it. Now you just have to step into it for yourself. It's harvest time. Your harvest time is now. And you got to shake off of you. Listen, you got to shake off the feeling of the press. And get excited about the harvest that's now yours and that you're stepping into. Come on, just bless God and say amen. Come on, stay with me. I know for some of y'all, I'm going to have to force feed you this word this morning. But you're going to get it. Because we all got to get it. I recognize this as we've talked about the power of patience. And what I love about that message with Les Brown again, he made the point which we've made as well, and that is sometimes it's going through the process that's more important than once you reach the final destination. Because of what God is working in us, working out of us, working through us, what he's doing in our lives. But some of you are right at the moment of your greatest breakthrough of harvest. That's a good time to clap. I'm talking to all the entrepreneurs right now. Okay, you may work that 9 to 5 where you get the 3% or 2% increase every whenever. I'm talking about those that have positioned themselves now to be able to just break free. I'm talking about the abundance of the harvest showing up. God would that all of us would have multiple income streams. Now, hear me, I am not saying nothing negative about the person who goes to work every morning 9 to 5. That's not what I'm saying. Stay with me. I'm talking about expanding our capacity and our horizon. Because for many of the things that God desires to do, not only through you or for you, but for the body of Christ and for those around us, it's going to take you getting your harvest and then recognizing what to do with that harvest when it comes in. And it's not all about you. It's not all about me. Your harvest time is now. My 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 harvest time is now. I'm not looking out the window. I ain't sitting on the back porch. My harvest time is now. 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 I've weathered the storms. I've been in those dark spaces. And right in the middle of a God-centered prophetic word to light everything up and say, you will find your way through it. You will get through this. The lights will come on again. But when you come out of this one, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be more fierce. You're going to be more focused. You're going to be more confident. And there will be those that look at you and recognize, yeah, he looks kind of the same, but he ain't the same. He ain't walking the same. He ain't talking the same. He ain't looking at me the way he used to. Now he's looking through me. This is the place of the confidence of God in God, who has prepared us for such a time as this. In the time of harvest, it's usually a festive kind of time. A lot of people get involved. They're bringing in the harvest. It says the average harvesting period was set at a period of about 7 weeks. Say 7 weeks. So that meant you got a certain amount of time to get that harvest in before the next harvest time. Stay with me now. Remember I just said in Israel's time there was no one time of harvest. There were numerous harvests. And I believe, I'm speaking prophetically now, I believe in your life, in my life, that there should be perpetual harvest. Perpetual harvest. Not just one season of harvest, but you have sown and you have sown and you have sown and you have weathered this and you have weathered that and you've gone through this and you've gone through that and you arrive in a place of perpetual harvest. I'm blessed Monday. I'm blessed Tuesday. I'm blessed Wednesday. I'm blessed Thursday. I'm blessed Friday. I'm blessed Saturday. I'm doubly blessed on Sunday. And then the cycle starts over again. I'm blessed Monday. I'm blessed Tuesday. I'm blessed Wednesday. And then the cycle starts all over again. I'm blessed Monday. I'm blessed Tuesday. I go to the mailbox looking for checks. I go to my P.O. box looking for checks. I check my app on my phone looking for deposits. And sometimes they're there. Your harvest is now. Your harvest is now. Our harvest is now. But you can't miss the window of that particular harvest. One of the things about the harvest is all members of the family were expected to work during the harvest. All members of the family were expected to work during the harvest. Yes, 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 yes. All members of the family were required to work during the harvest. Get on the phone, call Boo Boo. Right. Call Cousin Nim. Everybody about to get broke off, okay? If you don't understand what broke off means, I mean, everybody about to get paid. Everybody's going to receive something out of this. Now get the qualified boo-boos and the qualified cousin then. Don't get just anybody, okay? You got to get the right ones. We've heard those stories about the entertainers that once they made it, they went back to, got the boys and brought them in and gave them all kinds of jobs that they weren't qualified for. And when the money was gone, everybody was broke. But what you learn to do is, in harvest time, listen to me here. This is one of the revelations I got while I was riding. In harvest time, there's a big harvest. There's a big harvest about to come in. Who's a part of this harvest? Who's supposed to be out there with me bringing in this harvest? I was talking to Pastor Nina. I said, I love how I see you on Facebook, and you would Jesse's table, and you were party sitters, and these are folk that got businesses in the house that see when the harvest comes in, you get on the phone. Hey, this is a big one. I need your help. This is bigger than I thought it was going to be. We pray. He will pour out blessings that you will not have room enough to receive. Listen to me. This is what he was saying. Remember in that Malachi chapter, you know, we focus on robbing God and that kind of thing. But here's what God is saying. I need you to participate in my economy. I need you to participate in my kingdom economy. And yes, tithing is part of that kingdom economy. But you don't tithe so that you can be blessed. Listen to me. Tithe so that others can be blessed. Stay with me now. Tithe so that others. Give so that others can be blessed. Because they said build big storehouses. Because when this comes in, ain't going to be room. It's like you getting the contract, Nikki, of all contracts. that takes you into the year 2025. I'm prophesying now. I'm talking about harvest, harvest time now. Your harvest is now. Your harvest is now. Your harvest is now. Our heart, my heart. My harvest is now. My harvest, my harvest, my harvest is now. Don't think it's strange that Derek Thomas is on this platform. My harvest is now. I'm telling you, the folk are coming. The ones that are supposed to be here to get this thing up to the next level, to get it where it needs to go. My harvest is now. I'm not missing the moment. There are others around you that are saying, I'm not missing my moment, and I'm not missing your moment either. Because you see, in that season of harvest, oftentimes, it's going to take God what God brings to you, and then you begin to recognize, as I step into the fulfillment of purpose and destiny, and harvest comes in, it connects with her harvest. 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 It connects with his harvest. It connects with his harvest. And all of a sudden, we recognize we all out there bringing in the harvest together. Come on, that's a good time to clap, shout, and give God praise. But you must recognize that in the midst of the harvest time, yes, it's going to mean work. It will mean work. You can't miss the harvest window. It's going to mean work. It's going to mean work. And so you must have the proclivity to work. For those that are entrepreneurs, oftentimes you recognize it's a 10, 12, 14, 16-hour day. Because that's what it takes. And when the harvest really comes in, those hours could get even more crazy, because then you're not on the clock. Remember when I talked about order before increase, and I said order because of increase? That's where we're at, y'all. Order because of increase. There are so many things that we're working on right now. There are so many things I'm working on right now to get in order very quickly because of the increase that's before us. Proverbs 10 and 5 says this: he who gathers in the summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. The word that came to us this morning was arise, 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 wake up, get up. Your harvest is now. Your harvest is now. You're about to miss this harvest, and you may miss the next harvest. The harvest is now. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says this: the sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Look at somebody and say this: your harvest will demand work. Your harvest will demand work. In times of great harvest, a farmer recognizes that you may need so many, just a few people to plant, to sow, but it's going to take a whole lot more people to bring in the harvest. Because you only have a window of time to get the harvest in before it begins to fall to the ground and sometimes begins to wither and it begins to rot. So what God has a way of doing is bringing into our lives, in certain seasons of our lives, what I would call those seasonal workers. That provide the teamwork and share in the increase. The mentality that we must have in this season is, I help you, you help me, we help others who can't help themselves. I help you, you help me, and we help others who can't help themselves. I help you, you help me. And we help others who can't help themselves. Now, I've championed that. I've championed that. I've championed that in encouraging people and sowing into people. monetarily and otherwise, to help them get to places they wouldn't go on their own. I help you. You help me. We help others who can't help themselves. There's a world that's lost and dying, crying out in much despair, for they're blinded by the evil one to believe that no one cares. I need someone who's willing to leave the comfort of their own to go and share my gift of love, to go and bring them home. Bring them home to me, the dying and the lost. Bring them home to me, no matter what the cost, for I've prepared a place for them, one of their very own. Now go into the world and bring them home. I want you to understand that what this is about is you receiving what you need to go out there and change your world and change the world of others. And collectively, we bring people here who do not know God, those that have gotten stuck, those that have gotten lost, those that have gotten hurt, and we give them the same opportunity that God gives you and I to dream again, to dare to believe again. You can really do it this time. I know you didn't make it the last time, but we're going to help you get back up. We're going to help you get back in position. We're going to help you get aligned, because there is yet harvest for you. There is yet purpose for you. There is yet destiny for you. And it's not just linked to you. It's linked to others as well. God doesn't deal in our lives in silos. We are connected to one another. There are several laws that have governed the harvest that God spoke about. I want to talk about two of them, and I want to share one last thing with you all. Part of the crop was not harvested out of concern for the poor. You know the story of Ruth? How many of y'all know the story of Ruth? In the story of Ruth, Ruth is with Naomi. Ruth, it says Ruth the Moabite, which is interesting how they say that, because they're letting you know she's already got a negative going for her. But she stays with her mother-in-law, even though her husband has died. Says, I will follow you. I will be with you. Your God will become my God. Your lodging will become my lodging. And they end up back amongst her family, kinsmen. And she sent out to glean. What's she doing? She's a gleaner getting the remnant stuff that God said you leave for the poor. I prophesy to some of you, your gleaning days are coming to an end. Your harvest is now. Your harvest is now. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you remember, but it's indelibly imprinted in my mind and the image and in my heart. And which when we had the couple here from India, and we prayed over them, and we heard from them. And board members, if you're hearing me, hear my heart. We've got to do better. We've got to do better with them. We've got to get better systems in place, because they're counting on us. Our harvest releases harvest to them. So as God is building here, we must continue to build there. I so remember when Pastor Andrews, when his wife cried out and said, I am so tired of gleaning. I am so tired of gleaning. I am so tired of gleaning. I said, you won't have to glean anymore. I said that. Your gleaning days are over. But in order for her gleaning days to be over, some of our gleaning days need to be over. So that out of our abundance, we now sow. And their gleaning days are over. And they sow into the lives of those there. And their gleaning days are over. But this is what it says. Now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them there for the needy and for the stranger, for I am the Lord your God. Our Father sees everybody. He's concerned about everybody. He has a way of meeting the needs of others who don't even know him. Because he's a good father. He's a good God. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. When the harvest comes in, God will always provide enough. Or shall I say, more than enough. The second thing I want to say is this. The first fruits of harvest were presented as an offering to God. Now, whenever you start going down the road of giving and talking about giving, folks get all kind of squeamish. I just want to tell you, as long as you stay in that place of being squeamish, you will always be broke. You will always have just enough to get by. If there's something in you that keeps resisting that God wants you to prosper, that God wants to bring increase to your life, you're going to always have just enough. Because that thing on the inside will keep overriding what God is wanting to bring to you. Is everybody supposed to be a millionaire? I don't know. So you never hear me say that. Is every believer supposed to have every need met and then some? Absolutely. Absolutely. But this is what it says. Leviticus 23, verse 9 and 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests. This was done in order to remind themselves that God is their source. Secondly, it's so that there would be harvest there that fulfilled the needs and the prayers of others also. So what is it that God is doing in your life that he's bringing to fruition? What harvest is he bringing you into that's connected to somebody else's harvest, that's connected to someone else's increase, that's connected to someone else's purpose, that's connected to someone else's destiny? And if you can, sometimes it's just having the conversation that causes you to recognize that's an added piece to what God is doing right here. We can work this together. We can harvest this season together. Your harvest is now. Your harvest is now. Our harvest is now.